Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this afternoon. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beatitudes are 8 blessings on the mount in the Gospel of Matthew. 4 of the blessings also appear in the Sermon on the Plain in the Gospel of Luke. The Sermon on the Mount shows what the life of a person who is rightly related to God looks like. The qualities that Jesus highlights, being poor in the spirit, meek, pure in heart, merciful, contrast sharply with the pride of the Pharisees. Jesus calls to higher standards of life and a righteousness that can come from walking closely with them. Each beatitude consists of two things, the condition and the result as following the condition. The first, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean by poor in spirit? Doesn't God tell us to be rich in spirit? Bible does warn us against empty and improvised in our souls and urges us to seek spiritual riches instead. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." But Jesus also said there's another kind of spiritual poverty, one we should seek, which is Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As I was thinking, Jesus also speaks about humbling ourselves, so I replaced the poor with humble and put it all together. So now it is, "Blessed are the humble in spirit." Now I was able to understand the words better. We need to realize our sinful nature and come to God in an utter humble state. We need to acknowledge our spiritual emptiness before God. Our honest confession will definitely please the Maker. God does not approve a proud heart or a haughty eyes. We shouldn't think that we don't really need God. If we are like that, God cannot bless us. The Bible says in James 4:6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride can take all kinds of forms, but the worst is spiritual pride. Often the richer we are in things, the poorer we are in our hearts. In other words, when we come to God, we must realize our own sins and our spiritual emptiness and poverty. We need to seek His presence with humbleness and broken spirit to receive His blessing and to be part of His great calling. Second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He calls blessed even those who mourn. There are different reasons for mourning, but I would like to emphasize on a different one. A deep conviction by the Holy Spirit in mourning for our sin and its offense against our Holy Creator. Mourning over our sins, their sorrow is a special kind. He did not just say sad, but said mourn. Who mourns? Mourning is a form of expressing grief and sorrow. When unhappiness, hurt, grief, or sorrow becomes unbearable, then we mourn. When we are convicted for our sins, we look to God and His comfort, which is the ultimate peace and joy. We will never experience the angel of comfort until we enter into the mourning. He provides us the peace and comforts us with forgiveness. Third, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. First, we must understand what meek means. Meek refers to mildness, gentleness of spirit, or humility. Meekness is humility towards God, towards others. It is having the right or the power to do something, but refraining from the benefit of someone else. Meekness models the humility of Jesus Christ. Jesus many times in the Bible did not consider himself to equality with God. He could have used his God nature as an advantage, but did not do so. He made himself nothing, took the nature of a servant, and was obedient to God, his Father, and even went to die on the cross for our sins. He submitted completely to the will of God, even though he could have refrained from doing so. This ultimate meekness, he inherited the earth. In the same manner, when we are meek or humble towards God and towards others and forgiving our rights for others, we become true inheritors of earth. Fourth, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We must first understand what righteousness means. Righteousness means leading a right life, seeking God for approval in every matter. It makes you seek to do that which pleases Him. We no longer seek praise of men. We let God's word set the standards of righteous of life. Righteousness causes us to put God's kingdom first. We need to desperately want to lead a righteous life. Hunger and thirst are intense desire. A hungry or thirsty person needs food or water to satisfy him. In the same way, we need to have that desire when we want to lead a righteous life. If a person has no appetite or desire to eat, then we know that something is wrong with them. The same holds good in our spiritual life. When we don't have the appetite for living a committed godly life, committed to worshiping God and seeking His paths, then we need to take things seriously. When we long for and want to live a righteous life, we will be blessed by Him. When we seek God with such a must-have desire, He fulfills our desire. Fifth, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Tanya and Ronnie did a wonderful job on the puppet show based on this verse. Overall, all the kids did a great job today. Merciful, what does it mean? Mercy consists of treating people better than they deserve from us. Forgiving is a type of mercy. When we show mercy to others, we obtain mercy from God. In Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, the master said to the servant to sell his wife and children to pay off his debt. But the servant pleaded the master to give him some time to pay the debt, in which the master was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant didn't show any mercy to his friends. God shows mercy to us by forgiving our sins. But do we show mercy to others like God shows mercy to us? Anyways, the mercy that God blesses, it's itself the blessing of God. It grows up like fronts in a broken heart and a meek spirit and a soul that hungers and thirsts for God to be merciful. Mercy comes from mercy. Our mercy to each other comes from God's mercy to us. The key to becoming a merciful person is to become a broken person. You get the power to show mercy from the real feeling in your heart that you owe everything you are and have to share divine mercy. Therefore, if you want to become a merciful people, it is imperative that we cultivate a view of God and ourselves that help us to say with all of our heart that every joy and virtue and distress of our lives is owing to the free and unserved mercy of God. 6. Blessed are the pure in hearts, for they shall see God. What does Jesus mean by pure in heart? Pure means to be clean, blameless, unstained from guilt. In 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." This can be applied to the physical heart, but it also refers to the spiritual center of life. It is where thoughts, desires, sense of purpose, will, understanding, and character reside. So to be pure in heart means to be blameless in who we actually are. Being pure in heart involves having a singleness of heart towards God. A pure heart has no hypocrisy, no guilt, no hidden motives. The pure heart is marked by transparency and an uncompromised desire to please God in all things. It is more than an external purity of behavior. It is an internal purity of soul. The only way we can be truly pure in heart is to give our lives to Jesus and ask Him to do the cleansing work. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God is the only one who makes our heart pure if you live under His commandments. 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus laid down His life to make the peace between God and sinners, and we can carry that message of peace to others. We are peacemakers. Isaiah 52:7. beautifully describes the meaning of peacemakers, which is, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Jesus gives peace to us by being the Son of God. If we are out to be the children of God, we should bring peace among others. Those who give up themselves as Jesus did in order that others may know God are blessed. There is no real peace apart from a relationship with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. True peace is found only in a restored relationship with God. Only children of God can bring the peace of knowing God to others. A person must have a real relationship with God before he or she can help someone else know God. Those who witness for Christ, share their faith with their friends, and serve others in the name of Christ are ambassadors for peace. Those who bring the wonderful message of God's peace to the world are peacemakers, and Jesus calls them the children of God. The eighth and final, blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. This may strike us as negative. Up until this point, the Beatitudes have focused on humility, meekness, right relationships, mercy, purity of heart, and peacemaking. All positive qualities. But Jesus includes the possibility of persecution for righteousness' sake. This arises from the previous seven because that forces that oppose God's way still hold great power in the world. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How could Paul make such a sweeping statement? All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He makes it on the basics of a deep conviction about the nature of Christianity and the nature of the sinful of man. He is convinced that there is such a tension between the message and a way of life of Christians on one hand and the mindset and way of life of the world on the other that conflicts are inevitable. Persecution arises from unrighteous behavior. It is not blessed. If we fail through our own fault, we should accept to suffer negative consequences. Jesus is talking about the blessing of being persecuted for doing right. But why would we persecute for righteousness? The reality in a fallen world is that if we demonstrate genuine righteousness, many will reject us. The blessing that activates persecution for the right reasons indicates that the power of darkness believe you are succeeding in further God's kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this beautiful day, O Lord. Father, thank you for giving us the strength to praise your name. How precious are you, so humble and forgiving, Father. Help us to be forgiving and loving to one another. Father, your words are like honey, so sweet. How lucky should we feel to be loved by you. You are a good, good Father. Thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We are truly blessed from you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.